This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, on the clock, the New England Patriots. Bob Soci is going to join us. Patriots play-by-play announcer. We'll talk about the upcoming season for them. The season that was just passed, a 7-9 season, a lot of issues around the reason why they went 7-9. Of course, because Tom Brady left to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But there were more reasons why they finished with a losing record. We'll get to that coming up. Good, the bad, and the dumb as well. News in the NFL yesterday, more closer to home to me. The Titans are getting ripped by COVID-19. They've had 9 players and coaches test positive after they went to Tampa. And they had a dinner with Ryan Succop, who's the kicker for the Buccaneers, used to play for the Titans. And all of a sudden now Mike Vrabel is in quarantine. Ryan Tannehill has tested positive for the coronavirus. He can miss up to 10 days. He needs back-to-back tests. But, and here's the thing, he's vaccinated. And general manager John Robinson said that the team, the Titans organization, is 97% and 98% vaccinated. So you can still get COVID even if you're vaccinated, and they're all, you know, in quarantine and shut down. Look, the NFL, this is really tricky when it comes to these vaccinations. And I'm not trying to get into a big argument of whether or not you should get vaccinated or not. I got vaccinated. It's up to you guys. What do you guys want to do? But imagine for a second you make a living with your body. And you not only make a living with your body, you make a high living with your body, a high paid living with your body. And there's a lifestyle that you want to maximize with your athletic ability. And then here comes this vaccine, and we still don't know the long-term effects of them. And this league that you play for is saying you have to put it in your body. And it's okay to be a little skeptical or a little cautious if you don't know what that would do to you. But the reality is that the NFL is going to have problems with this virus if they don't get 100% vaccinated on these teams, because you can still get it. You can still have it. You can still test positive for it even when you're vaccinated. And this is the one thing this league is not going to go through again in 2021. We are playing in front of full stadiums and getting 17 games in, and they are not going to let anybody, and even if their ideology, stand in the way of accomplishing that feat. Good, the bad, and the dumb next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, it's that time again. It is the good. It is the bad. It is the dumb. And we're going to send you into the weekend with good, bad, and the dumb. But before we do, there are scratches, there are dents, and unexpected natural events. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. What is the good of the day, Ron Culver?
You know, we talked about it earlier this week that J.R. Smith was given eligibility status by the NCAA.
Yeah.
I think now we need cameras to follow him, because he has been live tweeting this entire week, and the results are fantastic.
All right.
Basically, he'll be sitting there. I don't know if it's during class, in between class. I'm not sure, because remember, he's a college student, so he is going to class. And he's just answering random questions to people. And I think I need to see more. He talks about how he was in a group project, and no one believed that it was actually him.
Oh, so he says, I'm J.R. Smith, former NBA player.
Yeah.
And everybody went, no, you're not.
No, you're not. Somebody asked him, like, hey, are you going to join the intramurals team? And he's like, facts.
Wow. All right.
How great would it be to, like, you know, be able to get him for your intramural basketball team?
I think that would be great.
Somebody asked him, like, are you on the college meal plan? And he's like, yeah, it's called my American Express.
Ah. You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember the years ago, and I'm talking 15 years ago, so you got to go way, 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 way back. Remember the TV show Tommy Lee Goes to College?
Yes.
Remember that, with the Motley Crue drummer went to like Nebraska or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
He played in the pep band.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing drums.
But I always felt that that was, you know, like kind of like a spoof.
Right. Yeah, I did too.
I want to
see. But this is real.
This is real. He's actually in class. I mean, he's actually talking about, like, you know, all of a sudden he said he's going to start tweeting in full punctuation and letters, and people are going to be like, who dis? You know?
He should stay in the dorm and do what Rodney Dangerfield did in Back to School. Remember that, where he took all three dorms, yeah, and took down the walls.
It's funny you
and renovated
that.
It.
Somebody asked him, and he's like, "Are you living on campus in a you know, sharing a twin bed in a with a roommate?" And he's like, "No, I laugh aloud off campus."
No, he should do Rodney Dangerfield. He should be like, I'm redesigning this whole thing, man.
I know, that was awesome.
That was great.
All of a sudden, there's like
a hot tub in it. It was amazing. This is great. Good old J.R.
You know
Smith.
What's fun about that, too? Little-known actor Rodney Dangerfield. Or not Rodney. Why am I blanking on the guy's name? Iron Man.
Oh, Robert Downey.
Robert Downey,
yeah,
Jr.
He played a diver. He played a bully.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, in that movie. Didn't he?
No, he was the son's best friend.
Oh, was he?
No, William Zabka was the
William.
Bully.
Oh, that's right. That's
Johnny.
Right. Yeah,
Johnny from Karate Kid.
That's right. Where was? Oh no, I'm sorry. That was Real Genius, where Robert Downey Jr. was the bully. Not Real Genius.
Weird Science.
Weird Science. Yeah, yeah. Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
Well, yeah, he bullied him and his friend, yep, in the movie. All right, I got my 80s movies confused.
You know,
man.
Well, I mean,
he played
a lot of the same roles until he was finally able to break out and be his own.
I know I told you this before. That movie was on, and I paused it where he like dumped some job juice or something on it at the mall, and I paused it and I said to my son, I said, "Who's that guy?" And he goes, "I don't know." And I go, "That's Iron Man."
Yep.
And he goes, "Is he?" I go, "Yeah, that kid became Iron Man."
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
He's one of the biggest actors on the planet.
That's right. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is a little controversial situation that happened, which is, I find hysterical at the same time. But a married couple sent a recently married couple, sent a $240 invoice to a no-show wedding guest.
Ah! Why would you do that?
Apparently they don't want this person in their life. That's the only thing I can think
of.
Yeah,
like what authority do you have to collect on that?
They, you know, the reasoning behind it was you promised you were going to go, then you did not show up, and you know, there was a reservation, a dinner ordered in your name because you said you plus one, and now you owe us.
This sounds like a Judge Judy type of thing, right?
This is
People's Court type of thing.
This is beyond. I mean, I would love to see this in court.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. Here's the plaintiff, Sally Jones, and her husband Mark. She alleges that the defendant agreed to go to her wedding, and when he didn't show up, she was stuck with the $240 bill. This is the defendant, Sally Jones. She says that the bride-to-be was being obnoxious and rude, so she decided just to randomly not show up to her wedding. She doesn't owe a dime. They both decided to forego their court cases and have their dispute settled here. Yeah, that would be fun.
I mean, it's tailor-made for that.
The judge would come out and go, you didn't go to the wedding? Yeah. You want money because she didn't go to the wedding? Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of here, please. Go sort this out. I don't care. Get out.
Did you receive a gift from the defendant?
Yeah. Did you get a card at least? I got to be honest with you. I don't like going to weddings. I don't like going to weddings. I just don't. And so I'm one of those people that would more than likely say to somebody, I'll be there. And then like a week before, like, how do I get out of this? Do I fake a heart attack?
Yeah.
Do I, you know, how many relatives can I have that suddenly pass away before people are suspicious?
The only weddings I've really enjoyed have been family weddings, because it becomes more of a family reunion. I'm seeing,
yeah, that's a little
seeing
cool.
Cousins
cool.
And uncles and aunts I haven't seen in a while, that, you know, where I was younger, I saw all the time. So I'm like, that I can get behind. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I've been invited a couple times. I'm like, you know what? Here's a card. Thanks for the invite. But
I'm with you. I usually
I don't have a babysitter.
We got like friends of ours now that her kids are getting married,
yep.
And I'm just like, you know what? I can't go.
You better be a good friend of the family.
Yeah, I know. I know. I will write a check. I have no problems writing a check. Like if somebody said to me,
a check, you can't get that to the new crop. They won't know what to do with it.
But here, well, whatever. I know Venmo or whatever. Yeah. But if that should be an option, right?
Right.
Like they say, you want to come to the wedding? If not, here's what you can do, and we won't even be insulted.
No. In fact, it's better for us.
If a family came to me and said, hey, you want to come to my daughter's wedding? And I go, oh, God, no. And they go, but here's the deal. If you just pay this, we will totally forget that you snubbed this wedding.
Yeah.
I'll be like, where do I sign?
If you just pay $240.
Yeah, I will. Where do I sign so I don't even have to feel guilty about not attending a wedding? I don't know why I don't like weddings.
Doesn't every wedding have no-shows?
Yeah, all the time.
I mean,
all the time.
I guess, you know, if we were smart about it, we could have charged. Said, you know what? You said you didn't come. You were going to come. And now, you know, I'm stuck for this bill because of this uneaten dinner.
My wife and I made out like bandits because when we had our wedding in April of 1998, it was during spring break. And it was hard for my relatives in New York to get rooms and flights, good flights and rooms for our wedding because it was like during spring break. And so like they felt guilty and they were sending huge gifts.
Nice.
To us. And I was like, this is great. Like my grandmother couldn't go. My aunts and uncles couldn't go. They were all sad, but they made up for it with cold, hard cash.
Yeah, but you know, deep down inside, they were fine.
Yeah, right?
You're like, well,
they didn't want to go down to hot Florida anyway and go to a
dress
wedding.
Up for.
They want to do.
Yeah.
And we had a little reception, and then my wife and I got in a limousine. We were off to some steak dinner in some little place. I can't do weddings. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is we have yet another Flamin' Hot Cheeto concoction.
All right, what is this? Don't we have a number of these?
Yeah, remember we've talked about Flamin' Hot Cheeto mac and cheese.
Right.
Which just it's probably delicious, but I can't come around to it. And the Flamin' Hot Cheeto ice cream. Now we have Flamin' Hot Cheeto Mountain Dew that's coming.
Woo, that doesn't sound very good.
No,
at all.
I don't get this. And I know maybe it's a trend right now, but spicy drinks, spicy cold drinks.
They did this thing with Coke and cinnamon.
Yeah.
And I wasn't into it.
My
wife thought I would like it. She goes, I got you a Coke with cinnamon. Just see if you like it. I go, ugh. But I know people love it. I know it's popular, but
I want something refreshing when I drink it. I don't want to have to drink a Flamin' Hot Cheeto drink and then chase it down with water.
How many different Mountain Dews are there?
I think all of them.
There's blue and there's red.
I know. Growing up, how many did we have? You know, we had one.
One. We didn't even have diet.
No, there was no diet Mountain Dew.
No, not at all.
I'll give you all the sugar.
Right? That was the thing. Mountain Dew was supposed to be the caffeine kick with the sugar.
Well, it was the sequel to a Jolt Cola, right?
That's right. Jolt Cola, right.
It's like, oh, you don't want Jolt Cola? Well, here's a lemon lime-ish flavor.
Right.
I don't even know what flavor Mountain Dew is.
Here's a citrusy drink that is supposed to give you the high, you know, the kind of the kick you need if you're too wimpy to handle Jolt Cola, which brings you double the caffeine and all the sugar you can handle.
For whatever reason, and I have no idea why, I still prefer to have Mountain Dew whenever I have Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, every time when I was in, you know, high school and college, anytime I went to Taco Bell, I always got a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, but I don't think Flamin' Hot Cheetos Mountain Dew is good.
No, I don't want. I'll use the hot sauce on a Taco Bell taco. I need something cold to kind of counteract that hotness. I don't need a hot drink or a spicy drink.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
I don't get it. What? And I don't understand the obsession with Flamin' Hot Cheetos anyways.
I don't either. I don't either. I'm with you. All right. Excuse me. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll continue along. Don't forget, Patriots are on the clock. We got Bob Soci, the play-by-play voice of the Pats, to explain where they're going in the 2021 season with a good offseason of acquisition of players coming off of 7 to 9 years. We continue along with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, Here's Tony D.
Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I said at the top of the hour, the Tennessee Titans currently really dealing with COVID. Mike Vrabel is expected to come back, but he won't coach Saturday's game against the Bears in the preseason. Ryan Tannehill could miss 10 days. You have to get back-to-back negative tests if you test positive for COVID. So he's kind of dealing with that right now. He is vaccinated, but they've had, he is part of 9 players slash coaches within the organization that have tested positive for COVID. So I don't think we're out of the woods yet on this NFL thing. I think we're going to have some, not a lot, but I don't want to use that term loosely. I think we'll have a couple of times where games will be moved because of this.
And then you have the situation where they got COVID police scattered all throughout.
Yeah, exactly. Was it Cole Beasley got fined for not wearing a mask like within like 50 feet? He was wearing a mask pretty much all day and then took it off for a period, a stretch of walking, and they fined him.
They found him.
They're not messing around. I mean, no. Look, they're not going to let this fall apart. You may not like the authoritative nature of it, but this is, they're not going to cancel games because of COVID. They're not going to give up this, like some part of the season because guys don't want to do this. Like you may not look wearing a mask. I get it. I don't want to get in an argument on mask wearing, but the NFL is like, wear the mask. Right. If everybody does what they're supposed to do and we still have a problem, we still have a problem.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, it's, you know, at the end of the day, the NFL is a private business. They can dictate their own terms.
Exactly.
They say do it. That's what you got to do.
I am fascinated, though, and I brought this up at the top. I am fascinated with how the Players Association is going to treat this vaccine mandate that the NFL is trying to push through. They don't have it yet, but they're trying to push it through. Right. It's got to be a touchy subject for the Players Association to be like, look, we know it's a vaccine. We get it. We understand it's COVID, but we really do not want the slippery slope of you dictating what our athletes put inside their body.
Well, what they're wanting to avoid, again, is we've brought it up before. They don't want a wide receiver who used to play quarterback at some point in his life. You know, being the start, right. Becoming the starting quarterback NFL Sunday.
Sure.
I already forgot that kid's name.
But let's say you're an athlete. I know. I did too. And part of his, I think his cleats went to Canton. and I can't give him the proper credit. But let's say you are an athlete and let's say you're just one of the few people that gets the vaccine. And for some reason, something happens, you have a side effect, it affects the way you play. It affects your career, whatever it may be. That's the fear of these guys, right? Is that I'm making $20 million a year, then I get the vaccine. What if I have a reaction to it that causes my production to go down and I'm never quite the same? I lose some strength or I get cut and I'm bouncing around and then I'm not playing again. I was projected to have a 10-year career and it's been reduced to 2. Like that's the kind of stuff that enters these guys' heads. And it makes them a little nervous. And you don't blame them. Like, I got the vaccine because I talk for a living. I don't lift things, and I'm not expected to run a certain speed, right? Even though the vaccine has been shown not to affect those things, if my body depended on my living, if my body depended on me making money, and especially that kind of money, I'd be a little cautious. I would. I don't know. But you got teams going, we're 90%, and, you know, we're 99%. And how we're going to get to 100 is those who don't have the vaccine are cut. Yep. So there you go. That's basically how the Atlanta Falcons did it.
Let's go play in Canada.
They just went, yeah, done. But again, this is kind of different territory. And, you know, I don't know. The principle is still there. I mean, if you're the Players Association and you agree to this, you better make sure when you're dealing with the league and you say, all right, you guys want a mandate? You guys want a mandate on this? Okay. But we're not doing anything else. Like there's no other thing that you're going to slide in that our athletes have to take, right? We're not going to let you have that kind of authority that our athletes must be taking this pill or that drug or this thing. Like if they get this injury, they got to only use this or that. This is not a slippery slope. leads you dictating all of the things that our guys have to put in their body. You're forcing the kind, this kind of treatment or that kind of treatment. I get it. I understand where Demoris Smith might be a little hesitant to do that. But at the same time, as I was saying earlier, they're not joking. I mean, they are not going to be derailed at all. Like, this isn't last year. Last year was, we are going to start the season on time and we hope to get to the finish line. I think I said 50 times at least that I did not think we were going to have a season that wasn't going to be altered by COVID in some way. Yeah. I'm surprised we got all the games in for everybody and the Super Bowl landed on time.
And I mean, and it wasn't easy.
No, it was not.
Like we joke about, I kind of enjoyed, but you know, I know the NFL doesn't want to do this because it's a scheduling nightmare, but we had games every single day at one point.
The thing about this is that last year, if the NFL had said, you know, guys, we gave it a try, but the COVID got the best of us, so some teams are going to play 13 games and some are going to play the full 16 and some got 14 in, and that's just the way it is, and we're going to come up with a different postseason to sort of allow for this, but this is the best we could do. And we would all go, okay, that's great, because we have a Pac-12 schedule that played 6 games, so we're good. We're lucky. We had a NBA Finals where they played inside a Disney World bubble with no crowd. So the fact that you tried to give us a full 16-game slate for all the teams, thanks. And the league did. The league did. They got us with empty stadiums, Wednesday games, rescheduling bye weeks. They got it all in. They did it. They got the Super Bowl on the date the Super Bowl was scheduled before COVID. That is a huge accomplishment. But in 2021, they're not messing around. There's going to be no excuse for this. Every game is going to be played. Every game is going off as scheduled. There's going to be full stadiums, whether it's you have to show a vaccine card or not. They're not messing around with this. Where they have to, you, if you're a player in this league, you have to get vaccinated and you have to wear your mask, because the league is like, we are not playing Wednesday games again. I'm sorry. We're getting all the games in on time, and we'll do it without you. And don't think for one second we won't do it without you.
And they're not shuffling bye weeks.
That was exactly
the thing last year, because then wasn't it the Steelers?
Steelers got a bye week moved. Yep,
they got the shaft right.
Sure, they did. Yeah,
they got a bye week. Like, your bye week's now week 3. Good luck for the rest of the season.
I remember arguing on Steeler boards, and I'm kind of on. I remember arguing with people about the Ravens situation. People would go, the Ravens should be forced to forfeit. I'm like, they're not forfeiting games. You got to understand. You have to take it from me. They are not going to forfeit a game and give the Steelers a win. They are playing these things. There is too much money at stake.
Yep.
They're not just going to go, oh, well, we'll just call it a Steeler victory and not play it. Sorry, CBS.
Yep.
Right? That's not how this goes.
I'll return this check to you.
Yeah, we'll give you the money back. Right?
Sorry for the inconvenience this week.
The NFL should give store credit. Right. Right? That's basically how it works. Right? Like, but, and I said, you guys, you need to understand the business of this. It's not, oh yeah, sorry, you can't play on time. They're going to say, sorry, Steelers. Guess what? You're playing Tuesday night at 6. That's the way it goes. Too bad. I know you're doing everything right. They had an outbreak in the workout room. Too bad. You got to play Tuesday night now.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But not this year. Not in 2021.
Yeah, we can't. Can't take a dent in that $15 billion profit.
And I'm telling you right now. And I'm telling you right now, the team that causes problems for this league, they're going to hammer them. They're going to hammer them.
Yeah.
They're telling all the owners, get your house in order right now.
You know, Tennessee, I mean, it's unfortunate what's happening with the Titans right now. But they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. And the NFL will have leniency on them. But if it comes to game time, game one of the season, and you still don't have enough players to fill out a roster, too bad.
Yeah, too bad. Exactly. Too bad.
I'm sure the NFL is working with them. They're working. I mean, they're doing everything by the book, by the NFL mandate. But yeah, week one comes, no games.
Yeah, we better be good to go.
You just get a forfeit right there. Sorry.
That's right.
You explain that to your TV providers and your fans and whatever, whoever.
All right, Bob Soci is going to join us. Talk Patriots. Again, a 7-9 team last year, but boy, they went all out this offseason. There's a quarterback battle between Mac Jones and Cam Newton. We'll see what that is. In fact, is it a bigger deal, or maybe even, are we making it out to be a bigger deal or even a lesser deal than it actually is in New England? Because he's really close to the ground of what's going on there. All of that coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Friday to you. As we continue along, we're continuing our NFL previews. We are in the AFC East this week, and the final team on the list of the New England Patriots, who are coming off a 7-9 season, and this after a 20-year run that is not going to be repeated by anybody anytime soon. In fact, it was one of the more remarkable runs 20 years any city has ever had in the history of sports. When you put in what the Celtics and the Red Sox and the Bruins were able to do during that time, but it really was about the Patriots and the marriage of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, which now, as we know, is no longer no more. So where do they go from here in a 7-9 season? Well, they went out and got a whole bunch of players. Jonnu Smith from the Titans, Hunter Henry from the Chargers, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Matt Judon, Jalen Mills. I mean, there's among other guys that have come in as the Patriots have went out and spent money to build up their roster, again, after a season in which they did not make the playoffs. But there's a couple of questions that we're going to have leading into this season, right? And the one question that is obviously one of the things that people are kind of touching on, and don't get me wrong, August is full of stories like this, where we take something and we maybe magnify it a little bit bigger than it is, or we don't give it as much attention as we should. But in the case of the quarterback situation in New England, it is interesting, because Cam Newton is coming off a year where he was all right. I mean, he had COVID and the offense wasn't all that exciting. It was very run oriented. And now you have Mac Jones out of Alabama, who is looking really good in camp. But what does that mean? Right? How do you translate that? I mean, when you talk about him in Giants camp, completing all of these passes and doing all of the things that he did on Wednesday, well, how does that translate? What does that mean? Where is Belichick going? Is he keeping everybody guessing? Is there a real quarterback battle? I would find it hard to believe that there is. Now, again, far be it from me to sort of dissect the way Bill Belichick's brain works. But, I mean, if you're talking about a team that went out and got all of these players, right, and all of these weapons, right, I would think that just knowing what the odds are starting a rookie quarterback, you would still lean towards a veteran, even if there are some things about his game that you'd like to see get better and better quickly. Right, I still think you want a little bit more of a veteran's presence if you are saying this is the year we've got to bounce back. We've got another game on the schedule. We've got a division that's got a very, very strong team on the top in Buffalo. So this is in a wide open AFC East, right? We've got to play really good football to be competitive in the division and amongst the wild card teams, even with an extra playoff team in the process. I still think you would lean. Now, again, if it gets away from Cam Newton this season, I could actually, you know, I think we would all expect a switch, not just me, but I think many of you would expect a switch. But I think the Patriots pushed all of their chips under the table this offseason with the way they spent money to sort of then say to that organization and all those players that agreed to go to play for the Patriots, yeah, we're going to give it to a rookie that we know, even if he does really good things in training camp or he does really good things in preseason games or these sort of joint workouts, there is a more than likelihood that he is not going to be productive enough in this season as a rookie to do what we want to do or to play the way we want to play as a team. I mean, look, there are players like Dak Prescott who did really, really well. I think Robert Griffin III did good. Cam Newton did pretty good as a rookie. Justin Herbert last year. I mean, these are just some names at the top of my head. But the list is much longer of rookie quarterbacks who've been given the reins of a team right from the start and then told, you know, take it away. I just can't imagine them doing that. All right, so this was a Patriots team, again, last year that was, again, run-oriented. But if you're looking at Josh McDaniels, right, there have been a couple of years where Josh McDaniels only has not had Tom Brady with him, right? I believe the way they pointed it out was there's five, if you want to count, 2 years with the Broncos, one in which he had gotten fired. Then there was the time he spent with the Rams, and then there was last season with the Patriots, and then in 2008 with the Patriots. So I believe it's 5 years where Josh McDaniels has not called plays with Tom Brady. And those haven't been all that great, right? Those are not very good. And last year wasn't very good either in terms of where their offense ranked. Defensively, though, this was a team that had a few opt-outs, right? And now they are building up their defense as well. Some of the guys that they brought in, to add to their front seven, their pass rush was not very good last season. They had a team leader in sacks and Winovich, who was 5.5 sacks. So you have a team that didn't pass rush very well and now has rebuilt the defense. So there's a lot of new things coming with the Patriots. And it's kind of interesting just to see, because I like this, because like I'll give you an example with me. All right, as a Steeler fan. And I think a lot of us, you know, whether you're maybe root for the Giants with Eli Manning or the Broncos with Peyton Manning, or whenever a major quarterback leaves your team, you can go draft a guy. You can go, you know, try to resurrect a career through free agency. But in the end, you know that the glory days are over, and there's going to be a period of time where you are just going to have to sit back for a minute, right? That's the price you pay. You get tremendous success with a guy for 10, 15, maybe even 20 years like the Patriots. But then when that individual leaves, the drop-off is real. You chill out for a bit and you try. The Patriots are saying, oh, no, hell with that. We will find a way to get back into this in another avenue. Oh, we never did this kind of offseason before. We're going to go through this offseason now. So in comes all of these names, right? Even two tight ends in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. That's the direction that we're taking the team. So the team doesn't have enough weapons. We're going to fill it with weapons. We lost Julian Edelman to retirement this offseason. Here are more opportunities for other guys, right? This is the direction that they go. Now, will eventually they go to Mac Jones? Of course, they drafted him for a reason. They didn't draft him to try to compete this year, and then let's see where your career goes, kid. Right? Eventually, he's going to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Maybe a little sooner, maybe a little later. We don't know. But that's where we're at right now. I think Cam Newton will be the starter because I just think it's the smarter play, right? Is it the right play? Everybody can debate that at the bar stools across the country. But I think the right play, the smart play, the mature play is to start a guy that is a veteran in this league, knows how to play in this league, rather than a rookie. I mean, how would you explain this to everybody that a rookie is going to run your team for 17 games if he's not injured? Right? If barring injury, he's your quarterback for 17 games. I don't think I'd be all excited, even if he threw a good ball in practice. Right? If I'm Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith, I'm like, this isn't the reason I came here. I'll go with the guy for, you know, his second year or whatever, but I'm not going to do this. So that's where we're at right now with the Patriots. So I think it would be more interesting if the Bills weren't that great, right? If the Bills were iffy, the Dolphins are iffy, right? The Jets terrible. Now we have a Patriot team that's iffy. If we had three teams like the NFC East where you don't really know where the division is going, then you could say, wow, okay, these moves are better than the other moves. But that's not what we have here. We have a complete and utter we have a complete and utter situation where the Bills are really good. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to end the show with Bob Schoci, who's the play-by-play voice of the Patriots, next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Bob Schoci joins us, the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, continuing our previews this week. How are you, Bob?
Hey, Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good. All right, so let's get right to it here. This quarterback issue between Mac Jones and Cam Newton, you're a lot closer to the nucleus of this story than all of us around the country. How real is it? How intense is it? Is it a bigger deal than we're making?
Well, it's a big deal here, that's for sure. And I think that while a lot of people assume that Cam Newton would be the starter, because Bill Belichick on a couple of different occasions from the spring through the early portion of training camp has said Cam is our starter, but he's also made sure to provide the disclaimer that every starter, every player has to reestablish his position on the team. And I think what's happened in Mac Jones's case is that the accelerated learning pace for him has exceeded, I think, what the coaches expected. They threw a lot at him in the spring. He handled all of it. He's shown poise. He's shown resilience, the ability to learn and improve on his mistakes from practice to practice, period to period, reps to reps. And then, of course, going into training camp, that set him up nicely in case Cam faltered or Mac really, made a charge. And while the competition has been fairly even, you're talking about a guy who's a veteran, been around in the NFL for a long time, and a rookie who continues to, grasp everything they try to teach him. And then, of course, in the last week, Cam, because of what was stated as a misunderstanding by the team nonetheless, was found in violation of the NFL's COVID-19 protocols and therefore had to miss 3 days of practice, including a very important joint practice session with the Giants on Wednesday. And Mac Jones was sensational in that practice against the Giants. Yesterday, more up and down, but I think it was enough to crack that door open a little bit more for Jones in this case. Cam led off yesterday, but we also saw Mac get out there with extensive work with the regulars too. So in terms of the rep distribution, Cam went first, but Mac got more, and also of note, he took a lot of those snaps with starters.
Can you highlight a little bit of this offseason, because it was so uncharacteristic of the Patriots to go on this spending spree and acquiring so many assets? Which assets do you see are more important for where this team wants to go, and which ones are you sort of excited or have been excited about seeing?
Yeah, certainly it's a reflection of deficiencies that were pretty apparent really the last couple of years. Wide receiver, tight end in particular, worst production at tight end. And this is a team, of course, that really mastered the two tight end system in 2010-11, that part of the Patriots run here under Belichick with Gronkowski, Gaynor, and Hernandez at the time. But they had no production from the tight end position in essence the last 2 years. And I think that was a target area, certainly. But even beyond that, the front seven, I mean, people in the Nashville area, I know where we work out of in Tennessee, saw Derrick Henry and the Titans, run over the Patriots in the AFC playoffs a couple of years ago. And the last year we saw them get gashed by teams that didn't have nearly that kind of running attack, like Buffalo and Miami late in the season. So they really needed to shore up the front seven. And I think they did that through free agency, uncharacteristically, in terms of the number of dollars they spent and the number of players on whom they spent it. Belichick occasionally has gone into the market, like with Stephon Gilmore, made a splash for one player, but generally the Patriots wait for everybody else to spend and then they try to pick up bargain values. This past year, $300 million plus in contracts and free agency, $170 million of it guaranteed. They got guys to come here from other organizations like Matthew Judon, who will have a big impact on the front seven. He's been fantastic thus far in camp and preseason. They re-signed key players along that defensive line. They brought back some linebackers, including Dante Hightower, returning from an opt-out last year, and they re-signed Kyle Van Noy after he was let go by Miami. And he had a nice run here for them, and I think their front seven defensively is going to make a big difference on that side of the ball. And then offensively, they should be a good running team, a team that tries to control tempo with the running game and the short passing game, channel through the tight ends. The only problem right now with the tight end situation is that they haven't been on the field a whole lot, because both Hunter Henry with a shoulder and Jonnu Smith with an ankle issue have missed either practice time or preseason game time or both. The wide receiver position is still an area of concern, I think. They signed Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne in the offseason to free agent contracts, but Jacoby Myers, who was an undrafted free agent who really emerged the second half of last year, remains really their most consistent player at that spot.
We don't see Josh McDaniels play call without Tom Brady very rarely, the time in Denver with the Rams. How has he adapted? What was some things you noticed last year about the way he had to call the offense without a guy that had been around him for so long?
Yeah, there were certainly some pages that were in last year's playbook that we hadn't seen before, and there were a lot fewer pages as well from the rest of that playbook for the Patriots last year with Cam. The thing about last year, too, with Cam that is of note, I think, that really you never allowed this offense to even, you know, find any ways. That, number one, he didn't sign until the doorstep of training camp. He signed in July. Number two, he missed time early in the season. They missed about 2 weeks of practice time because of, you know, breakout with COVID, including Cam's positive test. And I think that kind of set them back in a significant way that they never recovered from. And then there were lots of other issues associated with, you know, his mechanics that fell into disarray, the lack of weapons around him, et cetera. But Josh, I think, tried to compensate. We saw a lot of design runs, especially that first week against Miami, taking advantage of, you know, Cam's strength, and that is his strength as an inside runner at quarterback. And we saw him last year have success, particularly in the red zone. The Seattle game, the Patriots got stopped on the final carry by Cam Newton, but they were in that position because of what Newton had done earlier, combining some deep balls to Julian Edelman, but also that ability, you know, to take the direct snap out of the gun and power his way into the end zone those first couple of weeks of the season. As the year went along, though, we saw that kind of taper off a bit, and teams started to play eight men in the box. I think the Patriots faced, you know, eight man fronts about half the season, and they really couldn't overcome it. They just couldn't pass the ball effectively enough, consistently enough to overcome it. So Josh was really hamstrung last year by a lot of different factors. I think when you look at the two quarterbacks this year, Cam seems like he's in a better rhythm, more comfortable, more confident, doing some of the things that the Patriots expect of their quarterbacks that we have seen always in this offense. But he also can do some other things, you know, in terms of the running game. Whereas with Mac Jones, I think there's the potential for Josh McDaniels to take some of those running concepts out of the playbook for the quarterback specifically, and then expand the passing game to kind of what we saw with Brady, with a lot of those quick strikes, because he's a guy that really has a good pre-snap idea of where he wants to go with the ball. He's got a quick release. He's very accurate. And I think that, you know, he's suited for this offense, whether it's sooner or later.
Bob, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. You do a magnificent job calling those Patriot games. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Hey, Tony, I really appreciate your time and patience. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Bob Soucy, again, play-by-play voice of the Patriots, wrapping up this hour and wrapping up this week of our AFC East previews. All right, we'll be back next week with more NFL fun. And don't forget the college games starting this weekend as the UCLA Bruins are in action and UConn and Fresno State. Yes, college football starting this weekend. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.